The Hideous Creature Show.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh, The Revenge of Abe Lincoln, The Erotic Adventures of Hercules,
The Wackiest Covered Wagon in the West,
Alice's Adventures Through the Windshield Glass,
They Came to Burgle Carnegie Hall.
2 - 3 = negative fun. Out with Gout 88. Get confidence, stupid. Mothballing your battleship. 5 fabulous weeks of the Chevy Chase Show. Handle with care. Where's Nordstrom? Buck Henderson, Union Buster. Alien Nose Job. Andre the Giant, We Hardly Knew Ye. Designated Drivers, The Life-Saving Nerds.
Cry Yuma.
Mommy, What's Wrong with That Man's Face?
Gladys the Groovy Mule.
Man versus Nature, The Road to Victory.
Here Comes the Coast Guard.
Christmas Ape. Champ Howard, Today We Mourn a Stooge.
Today We Kill, Tomorrow We Die.
The Decapitation of Larry Leadfoot. Dial M for Murderousness. Alice Doesn't Live Anymore. After Mannix. Christmas Ape Goes to Summer Camp. Welcome to Springfield Airport.
The Greatest Story Ever Hula'd.
The Boat Jacking of Super Ship 79. Smoke Yourself Thin.
Firecrackers, The Silent Killer.
Last Night's Dinner.
Hydro, The Man with the Hydraulic Arms.
P is for Psycho.
Lead Paint, Delicious but Deadly.
Troy and Company's Summertime Smile Factory.
Phony tornado alarms reduce readiness.
Dig your own grave and save. Let's save Tony Orlando's house.
The President's Neck is Missing.
Calling All Quakers.
Son of Sanford and Son.
And Here Comes the Metric System.
Coming to you from the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon, inside Tutuatu, aka the Brooklyn Zoo, via the internets. The date is episode 100. Wait, the date? The date is Saturday, June 15th, 2013, and I'm one of your hosts, and my name is June.
My name is Patrick.
And this is the Hideous Creature Show, episode number 183. Thank you for coming along and playing fake radio with us on the internet. Sad news. We have some sad news this week that Jenny's not with us.
I thought you were going to say, episode. Like, Dale Earnhardt Jr. died.
Nope. Jenny is going to be taking a hiatus this week due to the fact that it is it's Father's Day, and Darnell is coming to town. For people that do not know, Darnell is her father, and he is coming to town, and she's going to spend some time with him. And it's BT, her husband's first Father's Day as a parent. Big deal.
It's a big deal for her.
It's a big deal.
Until she realizes it's just a bunch of bullshit.
So where do you think Darnell's going to take her? When Jenny's father comes to town, when Darnell comes to town, he doesn't like to eat in. He likes to eat out because he gets like a mini vacation.
Yeah.
And they always go to like Applebee's and shit like that. And Jenny hates that. I think BT's just like, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Or the Red Lobster.
Red Lobster, Rouge. So any ideas maybe where they're going
to
go?
I think maybe he might take her to a nice little Rube Tuesdays.
Ooh, fancy pants. Fancy pants. Yeah, Darnell should just move to Oregon. He needs to spend more time.
Why doesn't Jenny go, hey, Dad, can we go to a nice place to eat? Or not a nice, but just not frozen food place to eat?
I don't know.
He just doesn't like that because he doesn't know if he can get a blooming onion.
No. I think it's just one of those things where he's on vacation, basically. And he's like, fuck it. I want to go to a place that I know is going to be consistently delicious. Every time I see Patrick, he was taking a drink of water. I try to hit him, make him spew it up. But, you know, you're on vacation. You just kind of go, fuck it. Gonna go eat.
This is what I'm going to Subway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I don't know. I guess for me, it's different. If I go on vacation, I like to ask where the nice spots are to eat that are hell and gone from Applebee's or any kind of established right. type
you like,
of
you
franchise.
Like the local eateries.
Exactly.
When you're in San Diego, you like to go to Chud's.
I like to go to Chud's. What is it? Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
with a pirate theme.
All right. But I hope Jenny's having fun. Jenny, we miss you.
We miss you, Jenny.
We miss you very much. We miss her. I was going to call her, but...
She's probably eating at Applebee's right now.
At Applebee's.
On Broadway and 15th.
At Applebee's. And we'll stop at, I was going to say Helen Keller's, but Helen Bernhardt's.
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller makes a mean dessert.
Meat makes a mean cheesecake.
Well, we'll see you next week, Jenny. We miss you. Moving on, I've got a beef about something that I saw on the television the other day.
Shocking.
I was getting up and getting ready to go to work, and I was watching the local news, which is always very, very chock full of information that I must have. And a commercial came on, and it was for it was a cat food commercial, but it was for cat breakfast, like cat breakfast food,
like eggs and salmon, like, and shit like that.
Like Fancy Feast makes a I don't know if it's Fancy Feast or Tender Vittles or
pancake
whatever.
Pancake trout breakfast,
and it's for your fucking cat's breakfast. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's kind of like the thing with disposable razors or diapers or toothpaste or toothbrushes. There's only so much of a level that you can kind of get up to until you're like, wow, we have toothpaste that cleans your fucking teeth, whitens your teeth, makes your breath smell good, and cleans your asshole at the same time. What do we do?
Right.
With cat food, it's like it's a bunch of like horse fucking meat that you feed your beloved pet. And now we have to be like, well, we could hit the breakfast market.
So I was thinking that this is possibly something that's going to be a future item. For instance, in the past, you and I are fucking no way ever going to give our pets breakfast.
No.
Food. Like, maybe if I go and I come back, I give the dog one of the sausage or something if I had a dog.
Right.
But I'm not going to go out and buy a fucking can of breakfast cat food.
Which is the same exact cat food that you have. It's just charged like $1.89 more. Because right. It has bits of real salmon in it.
Well, it's like Taco Bell. Everything's the same ingredient. They just put it in different containers. This one's in a shell.
And they throw allspice on it.
Right. Poof. Boom. Bam. Spice it up. Yeah. So no buying pet food for cats. Come on.
I don't think you really.
Think about the waste that's happening, too. I mean, it comes in a container that you have to throw away. You're just producing more waste.
Yeah. I don't think, where can you go? How can you make cat food more exciting?
Put a candle on it. It gets fucking crazy.
It's like, when is Taco Bell going to start releasing, like, cat food for fourth meal? You know?
No, I guess they wouldn't want to associate pet food with a restaurant.
Because it tastes pretty much exactly the fucking same?
I don't know. Have you ever eaten cat food or dog food?
Give
it a taste
little.
Test.
It doesn't really taste.
So when you were little, but that was like decades ago.
Sure.
Maybe it got awesome because I ate dog biscuits.
Have you ever met those people that feed their cats like they make them organic, like vegetable dinners with tofu in there?
We're going to get wiped out as a society, man.
It's just like people will spend more fucking time on their animals than they will on human beings or their fellow mankind. They'll be like, yeah, I spent 6 hours making up a nice stewed broth for my Rottweiler, and he really enjoys it. And the great thing is all those sage leaves I put in there naturally clean his teeth. It's really wonderful. Oh, there was also some really great cumin. He loves cumin. It makes his flatulence not have an odor.
You wouldn't believe it, but Whiskers, my kitty cat, is vegan. Whiskers is all emaciated.
What are you doing? let's play a little game.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to be your boss. You work in that agency.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay, June.
Yes, sir.
Doing this stupid agency.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir?
Coming right up, sir. June, as you probably know, we got the Fancy Feast account, and Rick went retired last week. So if we don't hit a home run, we're going to lose the account. And you understand that's $3.4 million we can't lose. So what are we going to do with Fancy Feast? Go, tell me.
First of all, I got to go to the local Chinese food restaurant lounge and have a few cocktails, and I'll be back.
All right, let's get there, and we'll talk about it. So we're at that lounge. What are we talking about? So, Fancy Feast, go.
Lunch.
We're having lunch.
Cat
it's called
lunch.
A liquid lunch.
Okay.
What? Say that again?
Picture this. Cat lunch.
I want you to paint me a picture.
Dog lunch.
What? Dogs don't eat
it
lunch.
It comes in paper bags with your dog's name on it.
What? What?
And then when he goes to dog school, because all dogs and cats are going to be going to school eventually. Yeah, public schools are going to shit. You got dogs going to better schools than our children these days. Fucking over.
Dog lunch, what do we do? He has his name on... How do you write Rover?
Every dog has a name on its little bag of lunch. Come 12 o'clock, whistle blows, dog comes, eats lunch.
I can see it right now. Nice little Caesar salad with chicken and beef that's thrown over there with a nice Malay sauce that just goes over everything.
Right.
I mean, sadness.
Enter sad music.
I love when Jenny's...
Enter sad music as third world countries, children are starving.
I love it when Jenny's not here, we both turn into Jenny's old-timey voice.
Oh, right.
Hey, we got to get this morning edition by yesterday.
It's just really ridiculous that you have to watch cat food.
Maybe it's a thing. We're old now.
I also think like...
Maybe it's awesome. Maybe it's really good. Like When's the last time you ate? Did we talk about this?
No.
Maybe eating dog biscuits? I ate dog biscuits when I was a kid, but...
If you buy those organic dog biscuits, they're pretty much like ginger snaps. They have like sugar on them, and you could give them to people, and they're like, oh, these are really good, and they are good. And you're like, you're eating dog biscuits, fuck up.
Is this Mighty Bone? Ooh, that's good.
How do you really spice up cat food or toothbrushes, like I already said, or diapers? Diapers are bags that children shit in and you throw away. But now they have like elastic bands, which better like... accentuate circulation through fucking legs and will make your child smarter. It's almost like there's a speaker in that diaper that's playing Beethoven into the baby's ass to make them smarter.
It's actually kind of funny. I don't know the answer to your question, Patrick, but it's a funny thing because fake break, I found a piece of audio that kind of goes into that whole thing of our generation and how we should have all died due to the fact that we grew up with lead paint. We grew up in, you know, cribs that didn't have cage tops to them. And you were outside all the time. You ate shitty food.
When you grew up, like, there was a chance that the escalator would swallow your foot.
Oh,
do
yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I lost a bunch of friends to that one. My first girlfriend lost her to it. Well, I dumped her after her leg got consumed.
What do you really think? This is actually a question I want to ask you. What do you think when you watch TV and you watch commercials... What is one thing that everybody needs?
Boobs. I look at boobs. I immediately in every commercial, and I this might be off the subject of what you're talking about, but every time a commercial comes on, I'm like, yep, I do her.
Yeah, but
or
boobs,
no way.
Boobs are advertising like mattresses or fucking cars or fucking goddamn tampons. But what are they trying to sell? They're trying to sell you beer or tampons or mattresses. What do you actually need as a human being? I think you need two things as a human being. You need toilet paper.
Gotcha. I'm on.
For ladies, I think you don't need to have it. You don't need to have toilet paper either.
Female hygiene products.
I think you need feminine hygiene products.
Okay.
Is a fucking animated bear going to make you go, woo, this toilet paper is the softest thing? It's like, buy our toilet paper and wipe your ass. You won't get fucking boils or rashes.
No. That's not what the bear is there to appeal to the pre-menstruating women.
What are you talking about?
Well, as a kid, I mean, you see those products, the animals that represent those products, and you affiliate with them because you go, oh shit, that's a cartoon.
Right.
It's a cartoon with an adult theme on it.
Right. So you're saying it builds brand loyalty.
Very, very.
You're saying
it
builds brand loyalty at a very young age. But besides toilet paper and feminine hygiene, what do you really need?
A good saw.
You need a good saw.
And a hammer.
Yeah. You need a good saw and a hammer. How many commercials for saws or hammers do you really see? Craftsman has...
Well, there's a technology that hasn't changed in a long time. Saw's pretty the same. Hammer? Although, I guess there's new high-tech hammers.
There are new, because they're nail guns, too.
I love that every generation, some dude tries to invent the electric hammer.
It's like, it's just like this pulsating thing.
Like from Gremlins?
And they always get turned into vibrators.
Right.
They do.
The clit punisher.
Clitifer. Yeah. There's nothing else on advertisement we need. You don't need fucking nacho chips.
No.
You don't need fucking shitty tasting like carb light beer with a fucking can that tells you when it's really cold.
No. That's right. A can that tells you it's cold. Like your sense of touch cannot deduce whether it's cold
or not. Helen Keller could tell if you had a cold course fucking light in your hand.
She couldn't tell
you,
but fucking she knows.
True enough.
Tip cold. What was that, Helen?
Okay. We need to make a new list.
Burn free.
How many times Jude is going to hell for 2013? You have one now.
All right, well, fuck it. Feeding your cat breakfast cat food, you need to... rethink your life. Or your disposable income needs to go somewhere
Does
else.
Does the cat really taste anything different?
Meow, 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 meow.
If you had that breakfast cat food with just meow, like hollandaise sauce and, you know, hollandaise sauce with a nice poached egg. Or if you just, like, caught a fish and brought it in, would that cat be like, fuck this, I'm going to go to the fish?
You crack the can, you flop it over, and there's a pancake in the shape of a cat head. Son of a bitch, I've been duped.
Cat's like, this is a breakfast? This is wrong as hell.
Yeah, your baby's eating it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think what we should start doing.
Disposable income needs to be rethought.
I think this is something we can do in our own time, is when we see commercials, we start rating them, and we write, like, little essays about them.
Dear,
and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 10.
Dear Fancy Feast, I was not only offended, I was disgusted by your commercial.
Go ahead.
That's right.
Keep going.
My cat cannot distinguish what is breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You people need to stop your dastardly deeds and reconsider your product. June Bunton, USA. P.S. I'm joking. fuck that.
That's what you just sounded like to me in my artistic visual form.
Moving on.
So today on the Hideous Creature Show, June and I made a list of some of the movies that we, in our past, maybe as youths, maybe a little bit older, we've had to watch over and over, or we've loved to watch over and over again. I remember growing up, we had HBO. Especially on summer vacation, which is now summer vacation for elementary schools. Lottie
frickin' daw.
Fuck it. We were really high class. Eat macaroni dinner. That's like the only fucking luxury we had. We didn't have anything else.
Your cat ate macaroni and cheese for breakfast.
But in the 80s, there was some salmon in there too. In the 80s, when you were home for summer vacation, HBO would play a movie from like 10 to 12 and then 12 just repeat the movie.
Well, right.
Because they didn't really, especially in the early 80s, they didn't have a lot of content to put on there. So you would sit there, like I would, if you liked a movie, you'd watch it over and over. And after a while, like even when you're 14, you'd watch a movie over and over again.
Question.
Yes.
Is that a guy thing?
No, because I hear people going, I don't care. Every time that so-and-so is on, like, you know, CW or, like, I'll watch it.
I've only noticed that this behavior exists in men. I mean, to the extreme that we're talking about. I mean, I have seen Star Wars well over 100 times.
But if it's on random TV, like with commercials, you'll watch it?
No, I'll turn it off.
I can't watch it. What about Roadhouse?
Oh, well, duh. It's like, I have to watch it.
Roadhouse kind of wins. But these were movies that were just always on. They'd always be on during the day. So most of them weren't really that racy. You never got to see boobs in them because they don't play boobs until after 8.
On HBO?
On HBO.
Huh. Fun fact.
At the time. So those were movies. And you had them too, but you didn't have HBO, so you had to... I don't know what the poor people did.
Back in the day...
Even though we were probably really poor.
Back in the day, there was a thing called a VCR. And a friend of mine, a couple people in the neighborhood...
Oh, was that the thing that like was like 10 years before the Laserdisc?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Cutting edge. There was a couple people in the neighborhood, a couple of my friends' fathers had purchased said video recorder,
video cassette
player.
Recorder.
And it was huge. It was the size of, I don't know what to equate it to, of a small suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a top loading in it. So you put the cassette in, everybody already knows this, and
right.
Load it.
But the thing I loved about those is when you turned on the power, the like house lights would dim because it needed so much power.
Grandpa's pacemaker would
because it was almost like the heads must always they're always on.
Right.
They're always, you know, it's like that fucking chick you went to 10th grade with who can never just stop being in drama club. She's always fucking on.
Yeah, but we watched movies repeatedly too. And I think this was like from 8 to 11 or 8 to 12.
Mine kind of goes from like 8 to like 16.
Well, I didn't get that far. But I'm going to go down the list. Here we go. The first one I have, of course, was Caddyshack. Now, these were movies that my friend's parents would rent another VCR, and they would tape their favorites. They'd rent them and tape them because when it was like 50 fucking bucks for a VHS tape. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And like,
yeah.
If you lost it or damaged it, you were
bound. You spent like 60 bucks.
Right. Yeah. You were in servitude to them. Fucking had 8 dudes in the back
they
fucking
still
digging
have that
pits
now with DVDs because the DVDs like the $60 ones have previews for rentals, and you're like, well, we don't want the previews.
But Caddyshack was a favorite, and these were all ones that I can see the tapes, because you had slow record so that you could get four movies on one VHS tape.
You had long play, slow play, and extra long play, so you could get 2, 4, or 6. But the quality
would be terrible.
Grade, so you'd always want to get like 2 hours.
Right. The Caddyshack was a classic. Caddyshack was a big deal. I remember the first time we rented Caddyshack, we had rented a VHS player, and we'd rented Caddyshack, and the family got together in the living room and all watched it together.
Family that laughs together.
Fucking A. And I remember my cousin Tammy was over for that special occasion. It was that big of a deal that I remember my cousin Tammy came over to watch Caddyshack.
Because she never leaves the house. Tammy, she doesn't.
Fucking A, that's crazy. Jesus Christ, that was a long time ago. The next one I have was a recorded one, and we rented it at times, too, before we owned it, or my friend's parents owned it, was Beastmaster.
You love
Very important film of my childhood.
We tried to watch that. Remember, we were over here maybe 3 years ago, and we sat down in your living room. It was you, me. Was it Christopher Lee? Was it Chris Lee?
Yeah.
And we watched Beastmaster, and it got to the certain point, and I'm like, great, awesome, this movie's over. And I got up, and Chris Lee was like, where the fuck are you going? You still got like 40 minutes. I'm like, no, I don't get to do this. The movie ended there.
We'd recorded that. We recorded the movie and then the audio so that people could watch the movie while we talked over it, like Science Theater 3000.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
And we got 15 minutes and we're like, fuck it. We were drunk as hell, too. Like, fuck it. I ran across that audio the other day.
You did?
It's terrible. We're just really drunk. The next one I have, number 3 on my list, is Beat Street.
What was Beat Street?
Beat Street was a movie about breakdancing, which was very important.
Oh, I thought it was a movie about sewing.
Let me tell you a story. Put your seatbelt on.
Okay.
There was a time in my life when breakdancing was pretty much everything. Now, during this time, I was very conflicted because I couldn't get good at breakdancing because of all my karate training.
They conflicted with each other?
Well, yes. Styles? Well, you can't devote too much time to... I couldn't do two things at once. It was breakdancing or I was doing karate. I tried the Gymkhana version of breakdancing fight style, but it didn't work out. But, yeah, that was a time in my life where I was conflicted by breakdancing or karate. I chose breakdancing.
Yeah.
Then I went back to karate. But then I was like, fuck, breakdancing's awesome. And then I went back, oh, I got to do karate.
I think if we looked at that one particular choice in your life, that probably has, like, actually defined...
It founded me as a man.
It defined your role for the rest of your life. Yeah, you just could not decide. Mm. You never thought to mix the two?
To this day, I still haven't. It's still up in the air for me. The next one I have... Oh,
there's cardboard nunchucks right over there to prove it.
You have no idea. Our dance studio was a dojo.
You bowed when you entered.
You're like, oh, the next one I have is kind of goes right along with it. This is Enter the Dragon / Return of the Dragon, both Bruce Lee films. We would watch those, then we'd go do karate, and then we'd break dance. It was rinse and repeat.
Would you guys like try to reenact the fight scenes with each other?
No, you had to get lots of push-ups and lots of hitting the heavy bag. And then Enter the Dragon, Return of the Dragon, hit the dojo for some break dancing, and then karate training. We were serious about it.
I'm really just kind of
my friend Jason seriously had to move the heavy bag out so that we could hit the dance floor for the breakdancing. The next one I have, this one I've watched so many times. I watched a lot of it. Was Ice Pirates.
That one is actually on my list.
Who was the star of that?
Robert Ulrich.
Yeah, he was in Lonesome Dove as well.
And he was also Spencer for Hire, wasn't he?
Yes. Well, my dad and I used to watch Spencer for Hire. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Ice Pirates was hilarious because robots did karate, they breakdance, and they farted. You're like, holy shit, this has everything.
The thing was, is Ice Pirates came out, and I was, I mean, when did Ice Pirates actually come out? 1984. I was only like 8.
Well, I was
and
13.
So much so much shit went over my head. And I maybe seen it 3, but it was always on, and I'd watch it, but I'd always do other things while it was on.
Like
but
karate.
I always remember it being on. I actually...
Space Herpes? You remember the Space Herpes got out? They had to go catch
the
Space
Herpes. I didn't know what herpes
were. We didn't either, but boy, it was funny. Just the word herpes was funny. And are you kidding me? Robots that did karate and breakdancing? Oh my God. I was like, I'd marry one of those robots if they let me. The next one I have...
I do.
Do you remember that? It was fucking awesome. He's like, kick some ass and then do the robot.
No.
It's good.
I don't remember that movie at all, but it was always on and I always watched it.
It's stained on my brain. The last one that I have was a... I almost want to say documentary.
Okay.
It was a film called Super Ninjas, which I posted on Facebook already. You're welcome. The entire movie as well. It was a...
Facebook?
Yeah, I put the entire movie on there. I found it on YouTube, and I already posted it.
They have the entire movie on
entire
YouTube?
Entire movie, an hour and 26 minutes. Enjoy. This movie is basically, it tells my life story before I went Roadhouse.
Before you went to breakdancing?
So the movie was about these, the four elements of, you know, there's ice. Wait, it was air, fire,
wind,
earth.
And wind.
And wind.
Or no, you already said air, and I just fucked up the other
air,
one.
Okay, wait. Air, earth, fire, and water.
Yes.
And those ninjas kicked ass.
And they all had like special properties depending on their powers?
Yeah.
Okay, of course they did.
If you watch it, you'll see, you will probably cry because you'll see some part of you that you didn't think about. It's enlightening. It's like reading Freud.
Of course it's like reading
Freud. Just like reading Freud. Super Ninjas is just, it's exactly like reading Freud. You know what? When you watch it, you should watch it with a mirror close by so you can take a good look at yourself every once in a while. Reflect.
I think I've seen some of Super Ninjas and I can't even say the word.
Super Ninjas.
I think I've seen some of that and I was just like, I can't even watch this shit and I'll watch anything.
I don't know how old I was. I think I was 10 and I bought a sword out of a samurai sword out of the back of a magazine.
Your parents would let you do that?
No, they didn't know. I didn't tell them. I didn't eat lunch for like 2 weeks and I got enough money to, because I get a dollar a day to buy lunch.
Right.
And I didn't eat for 2 weeks and then a samurai sword came in the mail.
I would never have been able to
like,
do that.
Woo-hoo!
I would. My parents would.
Jason
be like,
did
what's
it
this
too.
Did you guys fight each other?
Yeah, we did. We wrecked the swords. Actually, you know what's funny? It's right behind you. The exact sword is right behind you, behind that little table.
I will look for it later. We can take a picture. Maybe we can take a picture of you outside, like
okay.
Looking all badass. All right.
Well, Patrick, I've shared mine. Why don't you share yours?
Okay, I want to mention one really quick, because this movie was always fucking on growing up, and I don't want to talk about it because everyone's seen it. But it's Eddie and the Cruisers was always on.
Always I remember that.
HBO.
I remember that too.
And it was just like, and I always found it to be really
boring.
Boring, except when Eddie went dark and started doing this like really dark music. And I'm like, that music's like music from the devil's mouth.
That's scary.
So that was there. The other one I just want to mention really quickly was Dreamscape, was always fucking on.
Is that where it was like Kevin Dagan?
No, it's Dennis Quaid.
Okay, Dennis Quaid. And then they went in. I remember they were on a train at some point.
That's at the end. Well, there's, yeah, you could, like, there's psychics that can go into people's brain and kill them. So the government wants to assassinate people. But he's trying to prove to the scientist, who he finds very sexy, that he can get into her head without a machine. So he goes into this, like, into her dream so they can have sex on the train.
Oh, shit.
And at the end of the movie, it's revealed, like,
train sex.
It's train sex again. And the conductor in real life is the same conductor from the same dream, kind of.
Oh, it's like Freddy.
It's pretty fucked up. So Dreamscape was always on. There was a movie that I watched all the time. This is actually when I was a little bit older. This is probably when I was 12 years old. I watched this all the time. It was called 18 Again.
I have no idea what 18 Again is.
This is a very unique plot. Wait for it, because it's going to take a hard time to
I
wrap
forgot
your brain
I didn't
around.
Tell the plot of any of all my
it
movies. I think everybody's seen them.
Yeah. But 18
Super
Again,
Ninjas,
if you haven't
on.
Seen it, started, its big star power was George Burns.
18 Again. Oh, I know it now.
Okay. And this.
It's Freaky Friday.
It's No. It's sorry I didn't mean to step Friday. On you. It's more than Freaky Friday. It's a grandfather and his grandson switch places.
What, are you kidding me?
That's pretty much what it is. And it's like he's 81.
And the other guy's like young.
And his grandson's 18.
I'm gonna go
and they
surfing.
Switch and then, you know, finds life. And like he's a nerd. It's just real. It revolutionized film forever.
So it's like Back to School / Freaky Friday.
Yes, exactly. So it's really unique. It's really fucking unique.
Another film that you should probably have a mirror close by.
Another film that I always remember being on, and it was really boring, and I would stop watching it and come back, was a film that came out that was called Joey. I'm just going to read the premise to Joey. Due to conflict with his hard-drinking father, who is a working-class former musician, a talented teenager runs away from home and seeks to start his own musical career.
What year is this?
This is 86, so I probably saw it in 87. So I was 11.
And you watched this a lot?
It was always fucking on in the afternoons when you came home from school. And what the premise was...
Oh, right,
was,
and you're talking about like summer days where you have nothing
even
to
after
fucking
school,
do.
Right, but it was
right.
always on. And what happens was his father used to be like this doo-wop singer in the 50s, but now he's an alcoholic guy who works at a gas station.
Ouch.
And his son...
Fall from grace.
His son was a teenager who all the chicks loved. They're like, Joey! I think it was like on Long Island, too. Mm, so they're like good, like Jersey... They're like good... You know, New York,
right.
Springsteen kind of mold, like blue collar mm-hmm. guys who just want to get out.
Yeah, got to get out of there.
And his father hated him. And then at the end of it, they reunite through music. And it's really fucking dumb. It's a really horrible movie.
All right, Dad, it's 1-4-5. Ready? Do up.
Show up.
Do up.
The next movie that I really loved and I watched it every time it was on, I would stop whatever I was doing and watch it. It was just so good was a little I'm gonna read the premise. Tell me if you want
okay.
Steve is a talented gymnast who has given up competition and is working at his father's bike shop. Julie is the new girl at his old gym who has moved to town to train with her powerful coach. Inspired by Julie, Stu resumes training while dealing with the conflicts in his personal lives and their stress of training. They prepare for the U.S. Olympic team.
Gymkhana.
No,
I have no idea.
This movie's called American Anthem, and this movie is fucking anthemic.
Is it good though? How long is it?
It's horrible.
It's like 5 days long.
No, it's only like an hour and a half long. Oh. But so much shit happens. Like he, of course, this is very different than Joey, has a troubled relationship with his father, and at one point his father breaks his arm, which means
what?
He can't compete. He missed the last Olympics
because
his
bitch.
Dad was a drunk and broke his arm.
Damn you, Dad!
And this is coming right off of the Mary Lou Retton craze.
Oh, right.
And
I still love that girl.
Everyone
She's
just
crazy.
Loved gymnasts, and they're like, we gotta get on this shit now. And Julie wants to be able to be a free gymnast, but her coach is like, you must do. Of course, he's Russian. You must do.
Yeah. Stay
I
with
think,
the choreography.
I think the guy that plays her coach is the evil Russian trainer in Rocky IV, actually. He's like, you must do my regimen. American Anthem, anyone listening, I've been waiting for this shit to come on Netflix because I'm gonna be like, watch American Anthem with me right now on the phone so I can sit at home and masturbate in private and talk to you and eat like a quesadilla. I'm so waiting for it. My last two movies, this one was a really, really, really big one for me.
I'm excited.
Tell me if you want to hear this. Did you want to watch American Anthem?
Give the synopsis then. Okay. And let's see if I can guess it.
Stopping briefly in a small Texas town. An itinerant race car driver finds that his stock car that is on a trailer behind his motorhome has just been quickly and expertly stripped. He chases down the miscreants who turn out to be 6 orphaned children. He has no recourse to the law, for the corrupt local sheriff takes most of the proceeds of the thievery in exchange for not putting the children in the orphanage. The children are charming rogues.
Jesus, this is a long one.
There's a lot of shit to get through. The children are charming rogues who are in turn charmed by the race car driver, who is played by Kenny Rogers. Disliking their arrangement with the sheriff, they stow away with him, and he finds himself becoming a reluctant stepfather, and they find themselves being a reluctant pit crew.
Six pack.
Thanks to their enthusiasm and incredible mechanical know-how, he begins to make a name for himself on the racing circuit. But the sheriff doesn't take kindly to losing his extra income. and then it's a chase. I think this movie, they're going to race around the track and then race straight into your hearts.
Right in there.
Right
there's,
in there.
There's lots of room.
Boom, like 197 miles an hour.
All of you. Kenny Rogers, get in there. You
this
kids, get in there.
This movie is so fucking
ready.
Awesome.
Six-pack, though, is it?
Six-pack. Okay. You're totally right. It's six-pack. Have you ever seen six-pack?
I've never seen the entire film.
Do you totally want to see it now?
I do now.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to? Corpses, that's it.
I do. Corpses.
All right.
I went to the graveyard. No one wanted to watch it.
I said, fuck you guys.
Fuck you, losers. I'm out.
This movie was, I was a little bit older when I saw this movie, and I was like, I was seriously like, where has this movie been?
You're so enthusiastic. Hold on.
This movie.
I like this. This is good because I'm feeling enthusiastic, and I feel like that maybe me telling what my movies were could have been better.
No, I'm just psyched about this movie so much for you because there's so many things going on. I want you to picture. I'm not going to read the synopsis. I just want you to picture.
Okay, eyes closed.
There's eight children from a small Ohio town who have big dreams of making it, all of them together.
You're all champions.
In the city.
All of them.
They're a dance troupe.
Ooh.
And they want to make it in New York City. So what do? They move to the big city, put right out of high school, put all their dreams on the line, move into the shittiest, cheapest place in New York, disillusioned with reality. They don't know what to do. They want to get certain jobs. They want to pick up jobs. They want to learn dance moves and work. And they think, hey, we're going to just walk down and just be stars. But no, life's hard for them.
Life is tough. Life is hard.
And they move there to compete in a talent competition. Because someone who was traveling through Ohio 2 years goes, you kids are having New York. You look me up. But they find he's dead.
Son of a bitch. Can't win.
They try to survive in the Big Apple and learn some lessons about life. Now, after
is it Muppets Take Manhattan?
No, I want you to say, so there's a scene.
Sorry about that.
There's a scene where they go to a nightclub to kind of learn the new moves that the guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this like,
I can see the scene, like the music's going and they're kind of going,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And there's a bunch of people, and they're the hot street city dancers. There's a dude dancing with nunchucks in this film.
Oh, yeah.
He's the evil one. And these kids from Ohio go, they're all not that, and they're kind of mean. And because they're mean, we're gonna take them on.
Yeah,
it's on.
Yeah. Instead of not get shot in the subway.
So instead, these kids take them on and get humiliated.
Son of a bitch. We can't win.
And they have to rise up from the nunchuck dancers. It's karate and breakdancing.
It sounds like
Beat Street. It's your life. This movie is called Fast Forward.
Oh, I have never seen this.
Do you know who this movie was directed by?
Tell me. God damn, will you stop and just
tell me? This movie was directed by your favorite actor in the entire world.
Sidney Poitier?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
So
it was really?
This movie is a biopic about your dream life, and Sid Poy has directed
it. Sid Poy did it?
Sid Poy directed this movie.
At least he knows nunchucks.
This movie is so, rent, like, go now. Rent this movie now to whatever.
All right, sorry, I'm out.
This movie will change your life, and if you're 45 and you're going, what happened to me? I was so exuberant at 23. You watch this, and you'll just abandon your kids and your husband or your wife, whatever the women you marry when you're
they're called wives.
When you're straight. Yeah, okay.
Which is what? Yeah, all right. We're just
that's
not
going
to touch
happen.
That.
Anyway, so that's my list. I watch these movies
what's it called
all
again?
The time. Fast Forward.
Fast Forward.
Fast Forward! There's a song
by
called
Sidney
Fast Forward.
By Sidney Poitier.
He directed it, yeah. It
starred.
Do you want to see
No, he never puts
movie?
Himself in as a star. He just acts.
No, he did not star in this movie.
Who is that lead actor?
I don't fucking know.
That's Sidney Poitier.
Actually, let's see. Maybe there's somebody really, really famous in this that we don't
digging
know.
Digging deep here.
There's no one famous in this movie.
They all died from
except
overacting.
Except for Sidney Poitier, who is telling what the actors
he's said. Harsh. They died.
Yeah, there's no one. So, yeah, those are my thing.
What
fast
did they,
forward, I
what
watched
did,
all
what
the
did
time.
You die from? Overacting.
Yeah, so that's it.
I've never seen it. I will check it out.
It's horrible.
Or not. Is it that bad? It can't be that bad. Sidney Poitier is on it.
Are we rating it on a grade scale? It's probably a B minus or maybe a C plus.
Wait a minute. You know what it is? I'm prefacing this real quick off topic. Patrick, we went out the other night and Patrick ended up crashing on the couch and came upstairs and we watched 5 hours of Bridezilla.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was a reoccurring statement on the show was they would go, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 50. And we're both just like, fuck you.
It's that Randy Jackson. You know what? I'm a 3,048% chance I'm going to fucking take you.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm 167.9.
If I had to grade you from an F to an A, I'd give you a fucking U. Like, that's the new one.
Right. But anyway, so on a scale of 1 to 10,
it's
a million.
This one's a 6.5.
All right. Well, if anybody has any films that they have watched as a youth several times, give us a call, 503-933-2645. Patrick, what's your phone number?
971-212-6642.
Give us a call and let us know what films you have, or you can contact us at Hideous Creature Show. Or just Google.
Go on Facebook.
We're going to jump into a fake break. When we come back, we got a bunch of new good stuff for you. Until then, enjoy this little audio tidbit. And Patrick, this is the one I was talking about.
Okay, I'm ready.
We're lucky to be alive because we grew up in the 70s and the 80s.
I'm ready.
60s.
I can't believe we made it. According to today's regulators and bureaucrats, those of us who were kids in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or even early 80s probably should not have survived. Our baby cribs were covered with bright-colored lead-based paint. We had no childproof lids or locks on medicine bottles, doors, or cabinets. And when we rode our bikes, we had no helmets. We drank water from the garden hose and not from a bottle. We ate cupcakes, bread, and butter, and drank soda with lots of sugar in it. But we were rarely overweight because we were always outside playing. We would leave home in the morning and play all day, as long as we were back when the streetlights came on. No one was able to reach us all day. Smartphones? We didn't have cell phones at all. No PlayStations, Xboxes, limitless channels on cable, laptops or tablets. Facebook was an actual face and an actual book. We had friends. We went outside and found them. We played dodgeball, and sometimes the ball would hurt. We fell out of trees, got cut, and broke bones and teeth. And there were no lawsuits from these accidents. No one was to blame but us. Remember accidents? We had fights and punched each other and got black and blue and learned to get over it. We made up games with sticks and tennis balls. And although we were told it would happen, we didn't put out any eyes. We rode bikes or walked to a friend's home, knocked on the door, rang the bell, or just walked right in and talked to him. Little League had tryouts, and not everyone made the team. Those who didn't had to learn to deal with disappointment. Some students weren't as smart as others, so they failed a grade and were held back to repeat the same grade. Tests were not adjusted for any reason. Our actions were our own. Consequences were expected. The idea of parents bailing us out if we got in trouble in school or broke a law was unheard of. They actually sided with the school or the law. Imagine that. Now, this generation has produced some of the best risk-takers, problem-solvers, and inventors ever. We had freedom, failure, success, and responsibility, and we learned how to deal with it. If you've related to anything that was just said, you're one of them. Congratulations. You made it.
We are back from fake break. I do remember coming back. I had to be home when the streetlights came on. And I remember all my friends had to be home at the same time. And I remember having to beg my mother, please, please give me 30 minutes after the streetlights went out. And there would be everybody'd break. They'd go and plead to their parents to stay out later than the streetlights were on. And then we'd all go back out and fuck around. Like, we'd be playing hide. It sounds like I was growing up in the 20s. But we'd be playing hide-and-go-seek throw the rock at the dude that had the garbage can lid.
If you were playing kick the can, I would have said that was 1920s. So, like, roll the hoop.
No, it was fun, man. And we were always out. I don't know. Kids these days.
They can't do shit.
Kids these days, stick that they do.
Well, there's all these rapists, and you know, airplanes fall from the sky.
What about you? I mean, did you have the same kind of rules? Did that? What I'm asking is, did that last piece kind of ring true to you?
A little bit. I think I actually am on. I'm so on that little bubble Like, the, you grew up, I think, in the early 80s. In the early 80s, it was like 4, 5, and 6. So you actually are a little bit older than me, so you actually kind of fell into that. I did. Like, my parents were like, Summer, you go the fuck outside. You don't watch TV. You don't
do want another plate of lead-based paint? And like,
but, I mean, you went outside and you played all day, and you went inside, and then you went back outside, and I could entertain myself, but when it got dark, my parents were kind of like, come inside.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
When I was a kid, it was that way, too. Also, my mom had a triangular bell that she would ring when it was time to come home and eat dinner.
Like what the cowboys used to say, like,
exactly,
dinner's coming?
Exactly. And there would be different calls from different moms for dinner. And sometimes you'd buddy up and go to somebody else's house, but you'd have to tell your mom. You're like, Mom, I'm going to...
They're having tacos tonight. I mean...
Going over to Chad's house. For dinner, okay?
I think when I was like 10 or 11,
and the whole
12,
time you're like, yeah. you're dancing in place because you're like...
Yeah, I always kind of was home. I think also my parents really liked... us home for dinner because it was the only time they could sit down and eat with us.
I remember there were times that my would parents would be like, no, we're all having dinner as a family. And I'm like, can Chad come for dinner?
I remember my parents really, when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13, my parents really liked me being home after dark, even in the summer.
Yeah,
unless you're like over at a friend's house or you're doing something. But.
Right.
I mean, you do. You run around and you act like crazy and you reenact shit. Like, you know, kids don't even want to do that anymore, I don't think.
I remember when that would happen, you know, we weren't too concerned on what people are having for dinner because you're just like, you were so wanting to stay out and hang out and do whatever you're doing. And you're like, what are you having for dinner? We got pork chops. Oh, you're having pork chops. So what are you having? Meatloaf.
But you have to like be like,
I'm having ice cream soup. Yay.
I'm going to go over to his house.
No, I just remember when we have ice cream soup at my house. How's your house? Can I come over for dinner? Nope, not enough ice cream soup for you, Chad.
Yeah, it's always Chad.
It was Chad, Matt. There was Jill. There was Willie. There was Adrian. Then there was, you know, out of our neighborhood, it got kind of sketchy.
Who was the biggest dick?
Probably me.
Who was the nicest guy?
Probably me. Okay, I didn't have any friends. Fine. No, the biggest dick was like some of the kids, the bigger kids. They'd come around and, you know, pick on you.
The fourth graders?
Yeah, exactly. What's the fourthies? Anyway. All right, well, let's jump into our douchebags of the week for episode 183 of the Hideous Creature Show.
I'm going to fly her brains out.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
To celebrate this weekend and tomorrow's Father's Day celebrations, I thought it would be really good, and you thought as well, that we'll get into some fathery douchebags.
Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers.
Father Day. Happy Father's Day. These are really quick, but they paint really good pictures. Like Antonio's Hart Sr., who was with his son, Antonio's Hart Jr. I love it. Like, the people that do the shittiest things always have to name their children after them, like, to continue the legend of being an asshole and being a despicable human being.
One day I woke up and I said to myself, self, you're pretty fucking sweet. We need a W. We need two of your asses. ASAP.
Do you know a lot of people, like a lot of guys who are named after their fathers that are not assholes?
Hold on.
I've just noticed it doesn't matter if it's black or white. I think if like your name is Chad Smith and you have a Chad Smith Sr. and you're white, that and you're a dick, that Chad Smith is a dick.
Well, actually, if my name was Chad, I would name my son Chad or daughter Chad just because the name Chad is just, that's a bad name.
Yeah, it's a bad name.
Chad.
So Antonius Hart Sr. was out with his son Antonius Hart Jr.
What's up, bro?
They were ordering from a Memphis food fast chain, and they didn't get the chicken wings that they had ordered. They didn't get them. So the two drove back, waved an AK-47 rifle at the employee who forgot the order.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like, hey, son, no one treats you like this about your chicken wings.
It's your birthday. So, okay, wait.
It's a Father's Day present.
This is, I'm always kind of concerned about the people that do this kind of shit. So you have an item, a rare item, an AK-47.
Yeah, not a lot of people have it.
Right, and that's something you want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you tell you have it?
Fast food Memphis employee?
No, you don't tell anybody. You hold that to yourself. You don't go, because you're going to get it taken away, right?
Yeah, well, what are you going to be talking when you talk about June Button Jr.? What are you going to?
Chad Button Jr.
Chad Jr.
Because right before I die, I have my name changed. Or before I have a kid, it's going to be Chattius.
Chattius. Ooh, that's really good. Yeah. So you're thinking, hey, if you like that AK-47, why are you waving it, fucking people? This is the cops can take it away.
I understand that ammo's gone up considerably for that round, but
probably not enough.
I don't know. I just don't.
Do we really actually need AK-47s?
Let's take it. I mean, they have it in their car. So I'm taking you and the AK-47 out for wings.
Well, they had to. I think they had to go back.
Oh, they went back to the house
and got it. Maybe I don't think they had it just driving around in the Chevy Nova. Like,
there's bad ideas going all over that car. Cell. Just all over the car. Just like, I don't think that dude's ever had a good idea.
This is a question you have to ask a lady on a date. If you had an AK-47, what kind of car would you want to tote that around in? She says Toyota's your cell. You leave like the. You get the fuck out of that.
Camry?
Out.
Shit.
Honda Accord? Out.
Crown Vic?
You're in. The questions that you have, this is the checklist.
Got my checklist. Okay, I bought an AK-47. Now, what kind of people am I compatible with?
That's a fair question. If you love your AK-47. A man in Tennessee named Orlando Shaw has 22 children by 14 women and is being sued in what might be one of Nashville's most bizarre child support cases. Shaw says he loves all of his children and considers himself a good father, but he can't afford to pay child support. Is there enough fucking time in the world for a man to be a father to 22 children with 14 separate women?
I know I have friends that grew up in rural communities that the graduating class was like 14.
Right.
This dude has a school.
He can make a baseball, basketball, and football team one side of, like, he can field a football fucking team.
Hmm.
And he's a good father. Yeah. Hey, I'm a good father. I love my kids.
I'd like to give him a test randomly. Give an age, for instance. So how many are there?
22.
So from one, to 22, bust up the numbers randomly. Mm-hmm. So it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 18, 76, 15.
Right.
Bust it up completely different and ask him what child is that age.
Like 5-year-old.
Right. Darnell.
Why is it Jenny's dad's name?
I don't know. Darnell. I just go default on
Patrick.
Darnell. I don't think he could do it. Do you think he could do it?
No, it would be really hard. He obviously could not remember to put a fucking condom on, so I don't think he can remember to name his children.
I don't know.
Or get his fucking tubes tied. After maybe 10, wouldn't you be like, hey, I'm going to double that fucking number?
I don't know. I just think that there's a lot of sluts out there. And God bless you, sluts. But just don't dump a load in you.
Don't let a load
be dumped in you. You're not a dumpster.
I know
you're horny and slutty and have a horrible sense of the world, but don't.
Michael Hedger, who's 24, was arrested by the Greenville County Sheriff's Office and charged with unlawful neglect of a child because cops saw him walking naked down the street with his baby boy, who was also
naked. Ooh. Wow. Birthday suits.
Really? Maybe they're hippies. If it was a hippie, I don't know. Would it be all right? Would it be accepted as a society?
I've told you about my feelings on nudity, public nudity.
You don't like it?
No, I don't give a shit. I think it's fine.
Hedger allegedly bit his child when the deputies attempted to take the kid into custody. He attempted to bite his own child.
Well, you think about...
He thought he was a wolf.
Well, here's what it is. The kid's going to go into the system in order to identify as a child. Much like branding with cattle, he bit his kid.
Mm-hmm.
So his little, that's my tooth. I know that's fucked up incisor.
Because when he gets out of prison in 15 years, he's not going to know what the kid looks like, so he's going to want to be able to see the mark. I think that's an identifying thing.
But back to nudity in public. I don't think everybody has bodies. There's boobies, there's weenies, there's vaginas.
Can we not call them?
And they all are, they're all cruising around under the cloak of clothes. And fuck it. I don't think it's offensive at all. I think what's offensive
is saying the word weenies.
No, is when there's a boner involved. Once there's a boner, there's intent.
I think women get off very easy because they don't have boners.
I'm fine. Well, dudes are sick. Dudes are gross. Girls have their shit together a little bit more than we do.
Okay, whatever.
That's a fact. It's not a fact. Okay, wait. Agree or not agree?
Kind of agree.
Yeah. That's right. Because it's true.
Karen Washington, who is 20 years old, did not abandon his 2-year-old daughter. But if he did, it might have been better. He allegedly fed her bleach because he thought it would help her congestion. Congestion. She's having a hard time breathing. So let's feed her bleach. Has this guy ever smelled bleach?
Or put it down his own esophagus?
No. That's a bad father. That's a bad father.
That's a terrible father. Bleach. There's a label on there that says "Do not consume." Right,
right there is. Have you ever?
I was halfway through the last bottle before
ever,
I read that.
Have you
too.
Ever gotten food stamps from the government?
Yes,
or subsidies because you don't have children, but subsidies for eating. A long time ago, which I have lately, but a long time ago, we were getting food stamps because we had children, and we had to take this like 2-hour-long class, and there's a list of things that they're telling you: do not feed your nursing infant. Things on there were soda, juice, milk, alcohol. These things could not have been on the
baby
list.
Baby needs to get drunk.
If somebody hadn't tried to do it already. Like, who would think, to me, you wouldn't feed a kid fucking alcohol or soda, but somebody, they have to put this shit on there.
See, when I'm dictator, I'll do the exact opposite. I'll be like, what do you feed a baby?
Oh,
and then
good.
Once
like
it's
that.
Checked off, you're like, maybe no.
Walking
maybe
through
not.
Those doors. And
remember to give it to grandma. Door. Grandma gets to have the kid. And by the way, you're going to the mines.
Police say Arthur Langley, he's 20. All these guys are like 20. Arthur Langley.
How old were you when you had the boys?
24.
Right. Not too far off, but you're not dumb.
No. I mean, I was the same age of the dude walking down the highway naked.
But I could see you doing that, though.
No. Yeah, I could. Arthur Langley, who's from Philadelphia, who's 20, left his 1-year-old daughter at home while he tried to break into a neighbor's house in a suburb.
Can you stay here, sweetie?
He was arrested last June for allegedly kicking his 3-year-old son in the face while at Disney World, the magical place.
Was that
the most
accident?
Magical place on Earth.
Accidental, or did he just like street justice?
To kick his own son, a 3-year-old son in the face, street justice? What
well,
justice?
I don't know. Maybe he was on the teacups and his foot came out and poof, hit the little kid.
I mean, was it an accident? Street justice is different than
well,
an
accident. Well, that's what I was asking. Was it an accident or was it street justice? Like, maybe the kid said something that shouldn't have been said, and dad had to, like, put a boot to him.
If you really want to do that, you just push him out of the teacups so you could tell the cops that he fell out. Because he's never been on the ride before. You wouldn't kick him in
the
face.
Cash windfall for the family. I love Timmy, but I wouldn't know what I really like. Corvette.
Okay, this is the last one we got. According to a police report, an accused man left his toddler with a bowl of Cheerios and some orange juice to keep the child company. And an unidentified witness found the child playing with a dog on the side of a busy road. Here's some Cheerios. Here's some orange juice. Go to fucking town.
Bad father. You know what, though? Maybe that's like, one of those great adventure stories where a kid and a dog solves mysteries. Eventually.
I don't think so.
What's Mingus looking at?
He's looking at your neighbors who have parrots for flags on their shitty fucking crappy head. So that's it. Who do you think is the worst dad from that? AK, dad took a son, waved AK-47. Dad with 22 kids by 14 women. Naked dad who bit his naked son. Dad who fed child to a bleach to help her cold. Dad who left his 1-year-old daughter at home while he robbed the neighbors. Dad who kicked his son facing Disney World, allegedly, and dad who left his son home while he went to work. I've actually seen parents who have left their 4-year-old son at home by themselves when they went to work. Or 3-year-old sons. I've had neighbors who have done that.
I think the dude with all the kids.
22 kids.
Just because of the potential for fucked up kids is so hot.
Because he's a good dad.
Who knows? Maybe mom is like super awesome.
Well, there's 14 moms.
Okay.
There's 22 kids with 14 different women. No. It's separate cars. So that's it. I agree with you because I think that's actually part of the problem. We don't need more kids.
Well, it's the idiocracy contingency where you have so many kids and then those kids have fathers that neglect them.
Fuck, it feels
and then
good.
It's just like yeah. Fucking all
that's
over the place.
Pretty much it.
All right. So those are the douchebags of the week for episode 183 of The Hideous Creature Show. Songs for you, motherfucker. Wait, is your dad in heaven?
Which one? No, neither of them are.
All right, mine is. That one's for you, Dad. Fuck off.
A father's like a father with his father's father's father.
And his father's father's daughters.
And my father's in my heart.
Just like God's in heaven.
Just like my father's 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 in heaven. Yeah, that's not good.
All right, we're coming to the end of another Hideous Creature Show.
I would like to say happy Father's Day to BT, actually. It's his first.
Yep.
You know, happy Father's Day, BT.
Happy Father's Day, BT. It's your first one. May you have many more.
Any other Father's Day people we want to say?
Father's father's father's.
We should say Scott.
BT and Darnell.
We should say Scott from San Diego. It's probably his first Father's Day.
Oh, Scott. That's right. Scott, your father's father's father is you in heaven. And also another one out to Mike Kelly, who is a father, twice, right?
Twice removed.
Your father's father's father in heaven too. Oh, Patrick, your father. Happy Father's Day.
Because I'm a father's father's father.
From the father of a father's father's father
in heaven. We can do this actually all night long with the same thing.
Oh, wait. You know who else is a father
who's
that never listens
father?
To this? Is Jack from Ohio.
Jack from Ohio.
Your father's 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 father. That's in heaven.
Wow, June just snorted his way back to his father.
To my mom's mom.
All right, we're done. We're done.
All right, okay, we're coming to the end, of course, of another Hideous Creature Show. If you'd like to contact us, just do so by just Google Hideous Creature Show. You can find us that way. If you'd like to talk to us or leave a message on our cell phones, my cell phone is 503-933-2645. Or if you have, if you're doing it via the letters, it's father's father's father.
Father's daughter's father.
Father's, no, it's father's daughter's father's daughter.
Right.
Father.
Father.
Right.
And then you want to start, if you're texting it, just text heaven.
Hashtag father's father's father's.
In heaven.
In heaven.
You got to remember in heaven.
No, it's daughter's father's father, daughter, hashtag heaven.
Right. That's what we said.
What's yours? People can leave.
Don't call me right now because I have like 9 that I can't get off my phone. I got a little cheap thing.
Right. You can also find us at Facebook. We have a Hideous Creature Show at Facebook.
Yes, we do.
Hold on a sec. I wrote something down that I wanted to talk about. Shit, I don't know where it is.
Okay.
All right. Jenny, we miss you. And we miss your father's father, Darnell. And
you're a father's daughter. Oh, wait. You're a daughter's father, I guess.
Special thanks this week, Mike Kelly's father's father, to all the dads out there. The intro this week was Troy McClure. The outro this week is a Portland band that if nobody's heard about, you need to go check them out because they're starting to get a little bit of heat. And they're really, really good. And they're called The Chemicals. Do yourself a favor and have a wonderful, wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you soon. Toodles.